Hey, what's up? It's Wojo. Welcome back to another awesome episode of the Life in a Show podcast. I'm really excited about this one. This is a throwback to our 2024 summit. Every year, once per year, we get all of our Life in Ears together in one place and we all converge and take over a hotel and we just have an incredible time of networking, sharing, connections, fun, presentations. And this particular episode, we're going to hear from the founder of Life in Air, Steve Cook, and he's going to share a presentation, a really impactful presentation on living well and finishing strong. And he's going to challenge you in this presentation about how you think about success, how you think about significance and generosity, how you can leverage the power of community and how you can make this a part of your life. We're going to talk about redefining significance, generosity as a lifestyle. We're going to talk about living with purpose and leaving a legacy. It's an awesome, awesome presentation. You're going to love it. Let's dive in right now to Steve's presentation.
Hey, I want to ask a quick question. I want to see how effective some of the things are that we do and teach here at Life in Air. How many people have their pocket vision on them? Okay, we got a few. Did you read your vision today? So there's in the room, we got three people who have their vision. When's the last time you read your vision for some of you? Last night, good. Day before yesterday, that's awesome. How many people had their pocket vision? Raise your hands high again. I want to see. All right, we got a few. Did those of you who have it, who read it today? Anyone? It's too early. All right, we're going to talk about living well and finishing strong. Some of you may or may not know the Life in Air mission statement. If you ever see me in videos and things like that, it's actually on the wall behind me. I get to look at it quite often myself, just as a constant reminder. But it comes from Scripture. It's 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, the life that is truly life. And when I read this passage, it challenges me to really think about and, you know, consider what is real success. You know, we live in a world that sits here and defines success and gets us chasing after things, but is that what success really is? I mean, we're in a room of people who, you know, we've been working on redefining what success means to us and pursuing things differently than the rest of the world. But then there's another thing when I read that verse that really challenges me. What is significance? And when I read that, I go through and I'm reading Scripture, and it's really helped me to see significance in a completely different light. Certainly, it reminds me not to put my hope in the uncertainty of wealth, but to put my hope in God. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that is something that's easy for me. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, I've got that problem solved, but the reality of the situation is it's a constant reminder, you know, especially as somebody who is trying to be a good steward. I don't know how many of you can get wrapped up in, you know, looking at yourself too much, and then every once in a while feel a little bit of pride, like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. And then I have to remind myself that that's not where my hope needs to be. My hope needs to be in God. So He richly provides me with everything for my enjoyment. That's one of the things that is, I feel, the most powerful in that whole mission statement, is that we need to put our hope in Him who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And how does that come together? We put our hope in Him, we do good, be rich in good deeds, and then we should be generous and willing to share. So I'm going to talk about three principles today that I can pull out and just try to apply in a practical way. How can we do this and live? And those three principles are going to be community, generosity, and significance. I think that when we put these three together, if we can do these things well, they're going to be the ingredients that will help us to live well and finish strong. So community, the importance of community is very, very significant. It is very, very difficult to live a life that is filled with joy, that is filled with contentment when you're alone. Being alone sucks. Being on an island is not a fun place to be. But when you can get around a great community of people, a community of people who love you, who care for you, that's when you can thrive. That's when you can grow. And that's one of the things that we do within the Life Air community. But Paul in Acts 20, he shows us the power of genuine relationships. In Acts 20, Paul knows he's leaving the Ephesians. And he's leaving Ephesus. He knows he's never going to see them again. He knows, he's already convinced, even when he's leaving, he knows he's going to die and never see them again. And if you go and you read that passage, it is such a rich experience just to see the community that they had. Paul spent time with them. Paul poured into those people. He taught them. He loved them. He walked alongside of them. And they were genuinely broken when he was leaving. And you know, they wished him well, but, you know, it's not a good thing, but it was a great, great, you know, picture of what happens with community when people come together. Jesus modeled community for us. He surrounded himself with a close group of disciples, and he invested deeply into them. He spent years pouring into them and changing them and working on changing their lives. And the early church did the same thing. They devoted themselves to fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So Life Inner Mastermind groups were models after Jesus' discipleship. My very first group, the Flip Vips, I only took 11 people because I didn't think I could handle as much as Jesus. And I wanted to come alongside of them and pour myself into them over the course of a long period of time. I wanted to journey through life with them and walk through life with them and to make a difference in their lives. And the reality of the situation is their lives were significantly impacted, but it wasn't just me. It was each other. It was the community that helps make that happen. And the reason why we're all sitting in this room today, I mean, Jason says it's because of me, but the reason why there's this many people in the room is because of the replication of what took place. It was people who were in that first group with me who became coaches, and the next group, many of those people became coaches, and it just kept on going as a result of a multiplication, which was exactly Jesus's intentions with the disciples. They all went off and did their thing and built and made more people, more disciples. So our goal within Life Inner is to cultivate authentic relationships through a close-knit community. We want that vulnerability. We want authenticity within the groups. Because when you do that and you're real, that's when you get to experience real life, real relationships. It's a place where you can be known for who you really are and not judged, but loved for who we are. It's a place where we can be challenged to be better and we can get support from those who care for us. There was one time someone said, being in a Life and Air group is a place where I can let them know who I really am and they love me anyway. And they come alongside of me and they build me up. I've seen it over and over again, and you guys have probably seen it. If you've been in Life and Air for a while, you have probably seen somebody who's broken, guarded, uncertain, perhaps overwhelmed, coming into a group. And after a period of time of spending time within that group, they come alive. They start to get clarity as far as life is concerned. They become somebody who is seen, somebody who is truly known. They are somebody who has the courage to start doing things, and they start working off of the strength and the faith of the group. In fact, one thing that many people would say within the groups, that there's a famous saying is, if you don't have faith, borrow ours. We're here for you. We'll help you. And so it's the groups have proven to be a very powerful thing. And I think many of you are the beneficiaries of that. You've experienced the power of being part of a great community. This is a quote from some time back. Our group gives us the strength we need to tackle challenges in life. We know we have a group of people in our court rooting for our success. We are told to borrow the faith of the community, and their love for us is the fuel we need to keep going. How many of you can relate to that? Your group is the one that gives you the drive and the passion to keep on going. We'll move on to the next point, generosity. Generosity is more than just giving money. It's a posture of your heart. It's about being open-handed. I want you to just, for a moment, take your hand and make a fist. Make a tight fist. I want you to look at the person near you who has that tight fist. They got like a mean look on their face, don't they? It's hard to be relaxed and smile when you're tight-fisted. When you're open-handed, it's a whole lot easier to be just open and free and to let go. When we're generous, we get to freely give of our time, our talents, and our resources, not just our money. We become instruments of God's grace and provision for others. I love this. When we are generous, we are oftentimes the answer to somebody else's prayer. God will use us. I shared this story over dinner the other night, this is some years back. One morning, we're in church. My wife and I were in church, and before the service really gets started, and there's prayer taking place. And in that moment, my wife, she looks over at me and she said, "I think that we need to make a gift." And she said, "I feel like we need to give a gift to Mike for his missions trip." And I said, I feel like we need to do the same too. And in that moment, I sat there and I just prayed. I said, "Lord, how much are we supposed to give?" And I just felt God speak to me, and he said, "Give everything you have." And the first reaction was like, "What? Everything I have? Everything you have in your wallet." That's a little easier. I took out what I had in my wallet. It was $802. And we put it in an envelope and we designated it for Mike's mission trip. The next week, I come into church and Mike is just, he's a contractor. He's a construction contractor, big guy. And he's just got tears just running down his face. He is bawling, crying. And he comes on up and he says, "I know it was you." He said, "Thank you so much." He said, "I didn't know." He said, "I could have come up with the money, but I didn't know if I was supposed to go on that trip." And he said, "That morning I was sitting there praying that God would show me whether or not I was supposed to go on that trip." And he said to me, "I want to just tell you this." He said, "In that prayer, God answered my prayer, because what I needed for the trip was $802. He said, "You didn't give me $800, which would have been awesome. You didn't give me $750, which would have been great. You gave me $802, the exact amount that was still needed to fund my trip." And he said, "And that's how I knew it was God, because God answered my prayer." And, you know, here's the incredible part about that is how God orchestrated that whole thing. Because I could have stopped on the way to church and bought a cup of coffee and only had $798. Or, you know, it was orchestrated to be just exactly the way it was supposed to be. And that was set in motion long before that morning happened. We get to be a part of what God is doing when we're generous and we're paying attention. So when we are generous, we have the privilege of partnering with God. We get to help meet the needs of other people. We get to bring comfort to someone who may need it. We get to provide a word of encouragement. Sometimes we can just shut up and provide a listening ear. We get to make big differences with small acts. We get to compensate those who work with us generously. We can go the extra mile for a customer. We can go above and beyond. We can tip our servers well. We can give extravagantly to those we love and those we don't. We're supposed to love and bless our enemies as well. But the most amazing part of generosity is this. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When you're generous, you get more blessings. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's a formula and say that, hey, you know, when you give X amount, God's going to give X amount back to you. That, first of all, there will be wrong motives tied to that, if that's the way that we would approach it. But when we give, we can receive unmatched joy. It's not always going to be with material. Sometimes we're not even going to see how God blesses us back. It's not even going to be visible. We might not see it immediately. We might not see it for years. We might never see it. There are times, you know, when I did that, the thing with Mike, the story that I just shared, you know, in the moment, we didn't see anything. It was a week later. And I got to tell you, the blessing that I received knowing how God used us in that moment was probably greater than the blessing that Mike received. It was an incredible story to be a part of and to know that God used us. But generosity does something inside of us as well. It helps us to be free from greed. It helps us to be more content. I always had this one thing that whenever I was feeling bad, I would look for somebody who I could help because I realized that my problems weren't so bad. It was other people had it much worse than I. And so one of the anecdotes to being discontent is go help somebody else. You realize how good you have it.
Hey, we'll get right back to our episode, but before we do, I want to tell you about a free resource that is available to you. At the Get a Life Getaway, one of the most important exercises we do is we have attendees put down on a calendar what their dream life would look like, and then that is a template that we use to design the work schedule. We do it around life. Now, lucky for you, if you haven't been to a Get a Life Getaway, I still want to encourage you to go. But you can get access to this tool. I cover it in a free training, a free on-demand online course that we have available for you. It's on the four stages of financial prosperity, where we cover not only this calendar, but all of the other stages involved in achieving financial and time freedom. Peter, where do they get it and why should they check it out?
Just go to thelifeonair.com and you're going to see the on-demand training over there for the four stages to financial prosperity. The reason why you should go there, it is one of the most transformational exercises we do at this event, and a lot of people get huge ahas for them. So I would encourage you to go there because you might get one for yourself as well. So go to lifeonair.com, four stages to financial prosperity, click on the on-demand and watch it today.
Let's get back to the episode.
I can't share that one story with Mike without sharing the time when I failed. There was a time, and it seemed like God was really stretching me and just asking me to give more and give more and give more. And I was responding and being obedient every single time I felt that prompting. I had gotten up to the point where I had made multiple gifts of $10,000, and then all of a sudden, one day, I buy this house and I feel God tell me to give the house away. And I was like, whoa, this is getting a little bit much. Well, and I said, God, that can't be you. You're not asking me to do that. And I said, if I were to do that, my lenders would think I'm crazy. My banker will think that I'm crazy. I got a good thing going here. And if I were to go ahead and give this house away, this isn't going to set well. I'm not going to be able to give later. I'm trying to justify this and saying, God, I know you would not put me in that position. And so I didn't give it. I start renovating the house and we start having all kinds of problems. I have a problem with one contractor. I have to fire him and I go get another contractor in there. The next contractor comes in, he's moving along. And then one day he calls me up and he says, Steve, we got a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, the roof is gone. So what do you mean the roof is gone? He said, the roof is gone. I said, well, help me to understand. What do you mean? He said, the roof is gone. It's not there anymore. How in the world could that be? He actually calls the police, and the police wants to know if we made some other contractors mad or something that came and took the roof off of the house. And I show up at the house, and literally there's a whole section of the roof that is gone. And I mean the sheathing, everything, it's not there anymore. The insurance company came out because we filed a claim, and the insurance company came out and said, well, it was a wind burst. In a place where we don't have tornadoes in Maryland, there's this wind burst that goes and sucks the roof off of this house. And the insurance company could determine that because we were in the drywall stage. There was no dust in the house whatsoever. So it did clean the house for us. And so I had that problem. And then we had to go put all that back together. And then I put it on the market to try to sell it. And this was at a time when houses were selling. And I couldn't sell it. And the house wouldn't sell. So I decided to do rent to own. Then I had problems with the tenant. And then about a year and a half later, I finally, I just said, Lord, you told me to give this house away. And it's been nothing but a problem to me ever since I decided to keep it. And I just said, I'm going to sell it and I'll give 100% of the proceeds away. Well, you know, tell me what you want me to do with it. And to show just how God can redeem things, I ended up selling it. The proceeds were $53,000. I gave 100% of that to Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge was getting ready to close down. They were going to close down within the next 30 days. And they said, your gift kept us open. So the timing was still perfect. It came right when they needed it. In spite of my disobedience and my failure to be obedient up front, God still used it. In a way, answered their prayers. And so, just, I gotta move on. So, when we are generous, we find our security in the one who possesses us rather than our possessions. Open your hands, let go. He fills us with what matters the most, gives us what we need. Now we'll move on to significance, the third one. Here's the twist when it comes to significance. I think all too many people in the world think that significance is found in elevating themselves, that they believe that they become more significant the higher they rise. And I believe and wholeheartedly believe that true significance comes from lowering ourselves. It comes from serving others. It comes from making others feel valued and important and building them up. You'll never feel significant when you have to build yourself up. But when you build others up, I want you to just think about this for a moment. I want you to think about somebody who has built you up, somebody who has encouraged you, somebody who has made you feel valuable. That person is a very significant person in your life. You want to experience true significance. You got to do it the other way around. Jesus flipped the world's idea of greatness on its head when he said, "The greatest among you will be your servant." The most significant among you will be your servant. Everyone in this room can live a very significant life. Every person in here can achieve great significance when you put others first. If you dedicated your life to just building others up, to helping other people feel valued, to helping other people feel important, you will become a very significant person in the lives of all of those people. Significance, to me, it's not titles, it's not achievements, it's not in possessions. It's not somebody standing in front of a room bragging about how much money they have or how much they make. It's not someone who makes the top 100 list, and it's not a politician. For me, the people who are significant in my life are people who built me up, people who encouraged me and they spoke life into me when I was lost, people who sacrificed their time to invest in me. I have a hard time even talking about this one person. I'm starting to get choked up right now. That every week he took time out of his schedule to sit down with me and to sow life into me. I asked this man if he could teach me how to be a father because I didn't know how to be a father. And for years, week after week after week, he got together with me and spent time with me and sacrificed his own time to teach me. He lowered himself. He's a very, very significant person, one of the most significant people I have in my life. People who are there when I needed a hand are significant to me. The pastor who washed my feet. I don't know if anybody's ever experienced anything like that, but we were on a missions trip, and my pastor, at the end of that trip, got on his knees and washed the feet of all of us. If we looked up to him before, I mean, I was broken when he was doing that, but that act of lowering himself elevated him to tremendous levels in my life. Poor families in Guatemala. We would go down to Guatemala and we would help those who can't help themselves. We would build a house for them. And then they would want to come and give us a gift. And they would major, major sacrifice the smallest of little things that they wanted to give to us because of our time that we gave and the sacrifices that they made. But their little gift was so much greater than what we did. And they just saw us when we were doing something that was helping them, that they saw us as significant. But then I look at those families there was one family, and this was a hard one. we built their house, and they took everything they had to go buy 2 2-liter bottles of Pepsi. They wanted us to sit down with them in their house and drink Pepsi with them. And it was all that they had. And it was a major sacrifice to them. And it was such a brokenness and just looking up to these people because of what they would do for us. And so it's little things. It doesn't have to be something big. The great things are a lot smaller than what we would think. We make others feel significant. Well, when we make others feel significant, we instantaneously become significant in their eyes. In a moment, you become significant when you build somebody else up. We find our true significance when we are generous with our time, gifts, talents, resources, and we use them to the benefit of others. And when we do this, we reflect Jesus. We become living testimonies of his love, his grace, and his power. So in my journey, I have found that my moments of being acknowledged as significant come not when I'm standing up here at the front of the room, not when the spotlight's on me, but when I'm helping those who can't help themselves, when I'm feeding the homeless, times when I'm helping a student work through situations and to have a better life. A lot of the things that I would do are probably not seen. Many of the things that you do are not seen. some of the acts you may do privately and nobody will ever see it. But the one who does see it is the one who will bless you. I don't know what those blessings will look like. That's up to him. He's the one who gets to dish them out and divide them up however he wants. But the one thing I do know, his blessings are good. They're really good. So the irony is this, when we go lower to lift someone else up, or when we sacrifice our time and resources for another, when we go above and beyond, exhausting our own resources, that's when we're lifted up and we're filled up. You can pour everything out, he'll fill you right back up again. He'll give you all that you need. You don't ever have to worry about that because he promised he will do that. So how do we do this? How do we live this out practically? Living well and finishing strong. And I want you to hold on to that. Just live well, finish strong. Live well, finish strong. It begins with being a part of a community. You guys are all in great groups right now. If you're still holding back, I want to encourage you, be vulnerable, be authentic. Let your guard down in your group. Don't just go into your group to get, but invest into others. Pour into them. This is when you're going to grow. You're going to be challenged, and you'll be supported by the others in your group. It continues with living generously. Don't have that tight fist. Let go. Be open-handed. Be free. Partner with God. Meet somebody's need. Employ somebody who needs employment. Pay them generously. That's how God meets the needs of people, through people like you. Be an answer to the prayer of others. When you feel those little nudges, be obedient. Follow through. Do those things. And then finally, in significance, it's not by building ourselves up, by building others up. Humbling ourselves and making others feel valued and loved is the path to being significant. So I believe that these ingredients mixed into your life will help you to live and experience the life that is truly life. The life that we all seek, the life that we all desire, is found not in trying to accumulate more, not in trying to get possessions, but it's in building others up. It's in being generous. It's in being a part of a community of people who you can love, who you can support, who are going to love you, who are going to support you, who are going to challenge you and love you no matter where you are. So my challenge for you today is this. Number one, invest deeply into your community. Be authentic. Experience the power of real relationships with them. Build them up and love and be loved for who you are. Be radically generous. Open your hearts and hands. Look for opportunities to give up your time, talents, resources for the sake of somebody else. And that can come in many different forms. It doesn't just have to be money. Make someone feel valued and important. Embrace the humble path of service that Jesus walked. And I want to do a quick little lesson here. I want you to ask God to show you who you can bless today. Ask God to show you. And I know, because I have this conversation with a lot of people, I mean, you could say, God, show me. And you say, I don't know how to hear from God. I don't hear when God speaks to me. So a quick little lesson. I want you right this moment, just pray, Lord, show me who. Who can I bless today? And the first person who comes to mind, I want you to trust. It might not be audible to you, but that person who comes to mind, you can trust is who the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart to be a blessing to today. And I want to challenge you, be obedient to that, and somehow, some shape, way, or form, be a blessing to that person today. Be obedient. It might not make sense to you what you're supposed to do or how you're supposed to do it, but just do it and trust him. Be part of his plan. Come alongside of him and do what he's calling you to do. So let's live a great life. Let's live well. Let's finish strong. We can do this by putting others first.
Hey, hope you enjoyed that. Listen, if you want to find out more about the Life and Air membership so you can hear these kinds of presentations live and be there and ask questions and connect with all the other people in that room, we have about 250 other Life and Airs that are at these events. Go to lifeandair.com and learn more. We'll put a link in the description, and I would love to have a conversation with you to see if this is something that might be a great fit for you to help you get to the next level in life and business. We'll see you next time, everybody.